In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, our Holy Church introduces us to an unusual young man. He was wealthy. He had enough money to care for his needs in life. He was well educated, having graduated from a fine school in his country. And the young man was healthy. He was clean living, respectful of God's laws. And when we hear these fine things about him, we are tempted to say, here is the ideal young man, the happiest man on earth. But the gospel that we heard today tells us about this man, young, rich, educated, healthy, moral, but very, very unhappy. There was one thing missing in this man's life. He had made one mistake in his careful planning, and it is the same error that many young people make today as they plan for the future. The missing link in the chain of happy life that he was forging for himself was this. He never did face up to the question of God. He never faced up to the question of sin. And he never faced up the question of eternal life. He went to his church, all right. He was active in the church programs. But he had never settled for himself the matter of God and eternity. And this problem now troubled him and made him very unhappy. So now he comes to Christ, and surely he came to the right person. He came to Jesus and asked him, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" What a question this is. Think of all questions a person asks during the lifetime. The numerous questions of childhood, the questions asked in school, the questions of adolescence, the questions of adulthood. There seems to be no end to the number of questions that we ask. But there is life's greatest question, one that we all ought to ask. Is it true about eternal life? Does it exist? And Jesus says, it does. Our hearts tell us, yes, it does. And the Lord answered the young man's question, and he said, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Don't steal, don't kill, don't sin against purity, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. These are the common rules of right and wrong behavior. Here the young man made a fatal error. He answered Christ, I've kept all the commandments since my youth. What else must I do? And Jesus knew this was just not true. The man made the mistake so many people make. For most people convince themselves that, well, I'm pretty good. I go to church regularly. I really don't sin. And that many people think they are very holy. We are very holy. And one of the greatest, great tragedies in our age is that we have lost a sense of sin. The idea of our own sinfulness in the eyes of an all-holy God no longer comes to us. We fail to remember that we are sinful, not only because of what we do, but because of what we are. We are born with sinful nature, and sin is woven deeply into the fabric of human life. This is a lesson that all of the saints have learned. Isaiah, the great prophet, once cried out, woe to me, for I am a sinful man. St. Peter called himself the chief of sinners. St. Peter cried out to the Lord, Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. These men were no greater sinners than we are, of course. They were probably much better, but they had an awareness. They had awareness, a sense of sin, and they knew the place as a, their place as a creatures in relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's more, the young man in the gospel story didn't realize that he broke the very first and most important of God's commandments, which says, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The young ruler had at least two gods or idols which were more important to him than the one holy and living God. One of those was in his back pocket, his riches, and the other was in his heart, his self. Don't be deceived. The uncivilized natives that still inhabit parts of the world are not the only people who still have idols. There are plenty of substitutes for God, especially here in America. Anything that takes first place in our hearts and lives, that is our God. Our Lord, the great physician, clearly saw what troubled the young man and made him what made him unhappy. So he prescribed the only medicine that could save him. And the Lord said, if you want really to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. This would have knocked down his two false gods, self and gold. It would destroy gold because he would have to get rid of it, and it would destroy self because he would have to think of the poor instead of himself. Unfortunately, the young man didn't take the Lord's prescription. Instead, he turned his back upon Christ and went away alone because he was so attached to himself and his wealth. What a lonely man he was as he turned to walk along life's road without the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord used this occasion to warn his followers, to warn all of us, how difficult it is for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. This is so not because they are wealthy and rich, but because they have put their wealth first and foremost in their lives. They made a God out of gold. And we must remember, even a beggar can do this. There is a story told of an American professor who went to Egypt to study ancient civilization. While crossing the Nile River, he asked the boatman several questions. Do you know anything about geology? No, replied the boatman. Do you know anything about geometry? Again, he received a negative answer. Then suddenly the boat hit a rock and overturned. As they struggled in the water, the boatman asked the professor, do you know how to swim? No, came the answer, and the boatman had to save him. He knew everything except the one thing that was necessary to know. And surely we, each one of us, have many questions, especially nowadays when we are experiencing this unseen visitor and dangerous visitor. And those questions, we the sinners like to ask the questions, but let's see how the saints respond to those questions. Do you know, my child, why the clouds are closed when the fields are thirsty for rain, and why they open when the fields have no desire for rain? And the holy people answer, because the fields Because the fields produce heavy fruit. Why do fields produce heavy fruit in springtime and yield a barren harvest in the summer? Because the daughters of men have hated the fruit of their womb and kill it while it is still in blossom. You know, just to remind ourselves, we read in the paper that more millions of our children are killed before they see the light of the sun. Do you know, my child, why the springs have gone dry and why the fruits of the earth no longer have the sweetness that they used to have? Because of the sin of man, from which infirmity has invaded all of the nature. Do you know why a victorious nation suffers defeats as a result of its own disunity and discord, and eats bread made bitter by tears and malice? Because it conquered the bloodthirsty enemies around it, around itself, but failed to conquer those within itself. Do you know how a mother can feed her children without nursing them? By not singing a song of love to them while nursing them, but a song of hatred towards a neighbor. Do you know why people have become ugly and have lost the beauty of their ancestors? Because they have cast away the image of God, which fashions the beauty of that image out of soul within and removes the mask of earth. Why diseases and dreadful epidemics have multiplied? This one is very familiar to us now, because men have become to look upon God, upon good health, as an abduction of nature and not as a gift from God. Because men have begun to look upon good health as an abduction of nature and not as a gift from God. And what is abducted with difficulty must with double difficulty be protected. Why people fight over earthly territory and are not ashamed to be on the same level as moles? Because the world has sprouted through their heart, and their eyes see only what is growing in the heart. And because, my child, their sin has made them too weak to struggle for heaven. Those are very questions that we all like to ask and answer. We, the sinners, ask them, and the holy ones gave their answers. So let us not cry. The Lord will soon return and set everything right. Amen.